Once again, no local church truth that I pray God will again enlighten His people. Maybe there are those in this house tonight who are on the fence, so to speak, when it comes to the second coming of the Lord, wondering when or if or how. Tonight I'm going to give you what God's Word says about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is one of those old Baptist landmark truths that, you know, we're pre-trib, pre-millennial, and I don't make any bones about it, and I don't apologize for it. There's too many today that are going away from these truths, going away from the pre-trib rapture, going away from the pre-millennial reign of Christ. They're saying all kinds of different ideas now. I'm just going to tell you what, not my idea is or what I believe. I'm going to tell you what God's Word says. And I think that's the best route for you to take tonight is what does God's Word say? Tonight, if you're here and you're lost, I want you to know. This whole world's not long. I'm here to tell you. You look at the situation in the world today. You look at all the events that are taking place. You see the things that are getting ready to transpire in Europe. Gog and Magog, Russia and China, are making their alliances. And you just watch and see what happens as they draw the whole world down. And they're going to be drawn down by hooks that the Lord puts in their jaws. They're all going to be going after one thing. And they believe Israel's got everything that they need. We see in the world today all the troubles that they're laying on climate change. When it comes right down to it, it's God's hand. That's all you can say. It's God's hand. And you see the pestilences that are going about, these diseases, these viruses, and all these different sicknesses that are plaguing the world today. The Bible speaks directly about that in the end of time, just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where are you at now? What position do you hold tonight? There are those in the even in the church today that don't believe the things that I'm about to teach, but they are biblical truths that need to be adhered to. Matthew chapter 24 and beginning at verse 32. As soon as I get there, I was in Zechariah, but that's for another point after a while. But Matthew 24 and verse 32. The Bible says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door." We're talking about the second coming of Christ. And again, you got to remember there are two phases of the second coming. One, the first phase is in the air as he calls his children home. The second phase is all the way to the Mount of Olives, all the way upon the earth, and he's not going to come to grab his children. He's going to bring his children with him, and there's going to be a great conflict. It's one that's never been seen by mortal man ever before. And the Bible says here, now notice this, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Now again, realize what's going on here. There's coming a time when every eye is going to behold the Almighty God as He comes. Now, this is dealing with the second phase, okay? This is when He comes to make war. This is when He comes to make a claim upon this earth. And every eye is going to behold Him. There's nobody going to not be able to see when He comes that time. Now the first time, As a matter of fact, the Bible says the first thing that's going to transpire in the lives of God's children is our ears are going to be tuned up, aren't they? We're going to hear that great shout from heaven as a voice of the archangel, as God tells his son to go get your children. You know what he's going to do? He's going to open the door of heaven. And he's going to step out on the clouds. Nobody else is going to see him, but I guarantee you the saints of God are going to see him because it's going to happen in an instant. In the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught up before we can ever even blink the eye. We're going to see the Savior. So the Bible goes on to say this. Again, the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Again, verse 32. Which his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer's nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Verse 36 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, once again tonight, Lord, as we bow in your presence, we do thank you for this day which you've given us. Father, we thank you for your word that gives us an open eye to what lies ahead. And Father, if we're only wise enough to take thy word and apply it to even the current events of this world today, Father, we can truly see that it won't be long that you'll be calling us home to be with you. Lord, I pray that you will bless. You would encourage thy children here tonight to realize how soon and how quickly your coming is. Father, also I pray for the lost around us. Lord, I pray for our children, our grandchildren. I pray, Lord, for these young adults that come to the house of God. Lord, as of right now, as far as I know, many of them don't know thee as Savior. But Father, I'm praying that you will open their ears and their eyes tonight. Help them, dear God, to regard thy word. Help them to know, Heavenly Father, that thy word is true. Lord, I pray that you awaken them this evening. Lord, that they may be prepared and ready for when that day comes. Truly, we're living in the very last days. Lord, only thou knowest. But Father, as we read thy word, we can find evident truths that lend to our thought process, Lord, an evaluation of a warning. We need to take heed. Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight. Bless thy word, empower it tonight. May it find lodgment in the hearts of all thy people. Forgive us our sin. In Jesus Christ's name, and amen. Emmanuel, tonight I wanted to go back and revisit an old church landmark. The teaching of pre-tribulation and pre-millennialism. Church family, as we look into this Baptist church doctrine, I wish your attention to be activated and captivated with and by some of the truths which are found in God's Word. The second coming of Jesus Christ has been the most anticipated event of the redeemed down through all the ages. A time we look forward to, a time we feel excited about, but yet a time when many of us may be sitting in fear even now, knowing that our soon judgment is coming. And I'm talking about the Bema Seat of Christ for the Christian. I'm talking about the time right after we're raptured off of this earth, when we are absolutely set before the very throne of Jesus Christ, and there our works are going to be tried. There we are going to either receive rewards or we're going to be standing in the ashes. I don't know about you, but I've got a feeling I'm going to have some ashes around my toes. There's no doubt in my mind there's things that I've done in my life that has not been pleasing unto the Lord because they weren't done for the glory of God. But yet I pray that there are many other rewards that make it through the fire and the testing of the Lord's judgment. Again, there's going to be all of us going to lose some point in some way or another. We're not perfect human beings. Therefore, many of our works may be burned up. But I'm praying tonight that as we stand here in this house of God, that we are resolved in our minds and our hearts to do what would bring God the glory. Folks, that's what it's all about. As I sit here tonight, and I welcome the church family into the house of God, and I see the smiles of God's people, I understand that we are here tonight to worship. We're here tonight to praise Him. Now, don't get me wrong, I understand that coming to the house of God is a blessing. You know, you hear some preachers today talking about the fact that we don't not to consider the blessings of coming to the house of God because we're here to praise Him. But yet, if you're praising God the way you ought to, your heart is going to be blessed. You're going to receive joy, and you cannot deny it. And I don't know where these preachers are getting all that. I don't understand where they're getting it. If they can hear me tonight in this sermon audio, maybe wherever they're at, maybe they can inform me why I shouldn't be blessed to be in the house of God. I heard that just the other day of a Baptist preacher who was saying that listen, you ought not to even consider your blessing by being in the house of God. But I'll have you to know tonight, I am blessed beyond measure. Number one, to be of God's people. Amen. Number two, to realize that somewhere in this house, the Holy Spirit has taken His abode with us. He's made His presence in here. We feel His presence in here, and that makes me joyous to know that He regards this house as a place of worship. You know what that does to me? That brings a blessing to my heart. Now, if I'm wrong in that, somebody's going to have to show me. Somebody is going to have to direct me. But I dare say that I believe that the Holy Spirit knows what's in the heart of each and every one of us. Now, where that came from, I don't know. That's extra. It didn't cost you a dime. But sometimes I hear these guys say these things, and it makes me wonder, what in the world are they talking about? I would hate to be in a church, and you see this in some organizations, as they come in to do their so-called worship, it is so solemn and so almost unattainable to see a smile that it just breaks your heart, doesn't it? I thank God for the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. I pray that your rewards will be many. That's my prayer for you as a church. Now let's get back to our text. I'll see where I was at here. Now, the second coming of Jesus Christ, again, has been one of the most anticipated, one of the most looked forward to events in the calendar of God's people. A time, again, that we look forward to, a time we feel excited about, being hopeful and eager because we can know from the very Word of God that He promised us in its occurrence. So tonight we're going to look at a few things here. And we're going to give you the Word of God to which we build and stand upon this doctrine of pre-trib, pre-millennial reign of Christ. Now, first of all, I want to look at the fact that He's soon coming. The Bible says all through the Old Testament, Isaiah, Zechariah speaks of it very highly that His coming was announced by the prophets of old. Now we go back to Zechariah chapter 14, if you'll back up just a little bit. Go back into the Old Testament here, just inside of the Old Testament, at the end of the Old Testament here in Zechariah. I want you to look at chapter 14 with me. And I want to read here a portion of Scripture found in verse 3 down through verse 5. The Bible says here, now again, we think about Zechariah, we think about these old prophets of old that told the truth. The Bible says in verse 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when He fought in the day of battle. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Now, this is the second coming of the Lord, the second phase of the second coming of the Lord, when He comes all the way back to the earth. The Bible says, and His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north and half of it toward the south, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. For the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Ezel. Yea, ye shall flee like as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. Now again, we see a couple things here that I want you to get a hold of. Number one, He's coming all the way back to the earth. The Bible here speaks about that. Zechariah, as he begins to bring this forth, is telling you point blank that at the second phase of the second coming of the Lord, God is going to send His Son. Listen, God is going to come down in the bodily form, and He's actually going to stand on the Mount of Olives, and there's going to be a great earthquake. And the Bible says here that all those, I think about the Christ rejecters today. I think about all those who have shunned the invitation to come unto the Lord. The Bible says they are going to flee into the valley. They're going to flee into that great valley that He just created. And God is going to have His way with them. You know, when I sit and I think about this, now I see what is happening here. Can you just imagine the fear upon the faces of all the unbelievers of all time? They'll not be unbelievers then, will they? They'll see Him with their eyes. They're going to feel the contrast of a loving King against the contrast of a conquering God. And they're going to know and they're going to fear. That's what's going to happen in that day. That is going to be a very shaking time. Now, back in the book of Jude, if you'll go back here for just a moment. Now, I have a ton of scriptures tonight, and I'm not going to be able to get through all of them, I know. And if you have a question about any scripture that I didn't give, you come to me, and I'll have it right here in my notes, and you can look at it for yourself and write it down. Because I'm probably not even going to have time to give you all the scriptures because I have so many. Because I want to base what I believe on God's Word. Not on what somebody has told me, not what on somebody says in it. I want to know what's in it. So therefore I take the Word of God and I use it that I may know. Jude verse 3 and 4, the Bible says here, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. But there are certain men crept in unawares. Oh my, that's what's going on in the world today. Baptist churches today are being infiltrated with men that are creeping in unawares. They're bringing in their form of doctrine and you don't even realize it until they start teaching it, until they all of a sudden have this new premonition about the end days. And you hear these people begin to talk to you about when that's going to happen and when this is going to happen, and they're all of a sudden they're not pre-trib anymore. All of a sudden they don't believe in the premillennial reign of Christ, and all these things are beginning to really sound unfamiliar, aren't they? You know why? Because men are creeping in unawares. They're going after strange doctrine, not sticking to the old truths. They're, you know what? I had an individual talk to me about something that he just learned on the internet. Hey, listen, get off the internet and get into the book. That's where you're going to learn all you need to know. Learn something new on the internet. Listen, you better get away from it if you learn something new. These are old truths. These are truths that Baptists have stood for ever since the conception of the church. They have understood these truths, and they have stood by them. Again, the Bible says in verse 4, For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. What were they ordained unto this condemnation for? For the great falling away that's taking the place right now in this great country of America and all around the world. The falling away. How are people falling away? Listen, number one, they have something to fall away from, and they're being directed by these men who crept in unawares, being directed unto things that are not sound truths. That's how they're falling away. That's how they're leading them into lies and deception. They were ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I want you to know tonight, the Bible says that the prophets have announced the fact that He's coming again. The next thing I want you to realize is that John the Baptist spoke of it in Luke chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Christ spoke of His coming. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. There you see where He says that He's gone to prepare a place for us. And He's going to come and receive us again unto Himself. That means that He's coming after us. That's the first part of His second coming. Those that are left alive in this world at His second coming are going to be summoned away in the rapture. Now there are many saints of God from this day to eons past, all the way to Adam and Eve, that have already gone. There's coming a day when the rest of us are going to be called up. Jesus speaks of that. The Bible speaks about it, that the angels declared the second coming of the Lord. You know, in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, when Jesus Christ was ascending back to heaven, the angel stood by as those men were standing there gazing up into heaven. What were they looking at? They were looking at the bodily entrance of Jesus Christ back to heaven. It wasn't a spirit. He had an actual body. And He said this, that they would see Him come again in like manner. Just the way that He left, He's coming back. Folks, realize that you're going to see Him face to face. You're going to see Him. So the angels announced it. It was taught by the apostles, as I've already spoken to many, many things. I'm going to look for just a moment. I spoke of, in Zacharias, how He's going to come back to the ground. In Mark chapter 13 and verse 26, let's go back here for just a moment. Mark 13. The Bible says here, notice what it says in verse 24. This is Christ coming back. It says, but in those days after that tribulation, listen folks, I want you to know something. The Bible's going to open your eyes to something here. After the tribulation, the Lord's going to bring His saints back with Him. That means that we're already in heaven, amen? I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the teaching that the Bible says that He's going to bring us back with Him when He comes again. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Folks, I don't know about you, but that sounds to me like I'll be glad that I'm in heaven coming with Him. Amen? Because when the people of the earth look up and they see God coming in the clouds, when they see Him coming upon that white charger, let me tell you something, it's going to be a time that's going to strike fear in every human being that sees the very God of heaven coming back that way. I don't know about you, but that gets my attention. I pray that it has grabbed yours. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. Begin reading at verse 15. Now think about this again. Now we go back to talking about the rapture of the saints of God. The Bible says in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. This is talking about that first resurrection is talking about the time when the dead in Christ are going to be raised, and then we which are alive, the Bible says, in just a moment, are going to be caught up to be with them. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now folks, I said this at the onset of our message. This is going to be one of the most wonderful times that the born again Christian is ever going to absolutely behold upon this earth. Today we look back at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We have to look by our mind of faith. We have to go back by faith and with our spiritual eye. And we see this with a spiritual eye. But this is going to be a time when He comes back. Listen, in the clouds of the air, and when He speaks our name, when He calls us and says, it's supper time, every last one of us are going to hear Him. And guess what? We're going to be caught up after those that have already died in Christ are resurrected as well. Yes, these are times that we can look forward to because the Bible gives us pure facts of the reality of His soon return to the air where He calls His children home now. Secondly, I want you to look at the nature of His coming. Now I want you to look at this. The Bible says in His second coming, He's going to be coming back in it, you know, bodily. We've already seen that in Acts 1:11 where the angel said He's going to come back the same way He left. In Philippians in chapter 3, if you'll go there with me for just a moment, Philippians in chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 20 and 21, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall do what? Change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We're going to see him in a bodily form. We're going to be able to notice him. We're going to visibly see him. We see that in Matthew 24 and 27. So these are things that I look forward to. The Bible says concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be as a thief in the night. Now, this here, and I mean, I'm not giving you no new truths, am I? These are things that you've been taught all your life. But for the sake of the younger generation, I want you to know something. Right now, as you think about the scripture that we read just at our opening, where if the strong man of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. The Bible says, listen, Jesus Christ is coming as a thief in the night when you don't expect it. Right now, what's going on in your mind? You don't expect it, do you? You got other things going on. You've got school to get into. You got sports to play. You've got all kinds of adventures in your young adult life that you're looking forward to. Marriage and families and growing your wealth or whatever it is you're looking forward. You know why? Because you're not thinking about Jesus' return. But you know what? Jesus could come tonight. What if you were somewhere tonight and Jesus came and you wasn't where you needed to be? What if tonight the Lord Jesus Christ would come as a thief in the night? You know what? He would catch a lot of even Christians off guard, wouldn't he? He'd catch a lot of Christians unawares. You know why? Because a lot of Christians are not thinking tonight the way they ought to be. The Bible says, listen, if you're thinking about Jesus, you're going to be ready, aren't you? You're going to be prepared. You're going to be looking forward to what the Lord has for you. But listen, if you're not, you're going to be caught unawares. But to those that are here tonight and lost, you're going to be caught off guard, I'm afraid. You know why? Because you're not thinking about salvation tonight, are you? You're not thinking about the soon return of Jesus Christ. Because if you were tonight, you would be scared to death right now. You'd be scared to death and saying, Lord, please save me. Please, Lord, don't let me be caught unawares. Don't let me be caught off guard. If you were really thinking about Jesus Christ, that's what you would be thinking tonight. But you're not. You got other things on your mind, don't you? But what if he were to come right now? Right now. In a blink of an eye. Matter of fact, the Bible says it's a twinkling of an eye. 2/3 of a second is all it is for your eye to twinkle. That's not even a full blink. That's how quick it's going to happen. What are you going to do when if you're sitting in the house of God and all of a sudden the biggest part of the house is vacant? There's nothing there. Your loved ones are gone. What are you going to do then? You're going to know it's too late. Why do you know these things? Because the Bible says so. But he's coming as a thief in the night. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, as a matter of fact, verses 1 down through verse 4, the Bible says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that are right unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, speaking of those that are saved by the grace of God, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light, and the children of light are the children of day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So we understand that he's coming as a thief in the night. We also understand that he's coming in all his glory. Mark chapter 8 speaks about that in verse 38, and Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 speaks about it. Now, again, it's in two phases. The first phase is for his children. First phase is as a bridegroom. The second phase is when he comes to the earth. And the Bible says in Zechariah and Jude and Revelation that he's coming with his children. In the first phase, he's coming and he's going to restore his children's honor. The second phase, he's coming as a destroyer. Says 2 Thessalonians 1 and chapter 2. The second phase, as he comes to the earth, he's coming as a judge. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. The second phase, he's coming as a king and a conqueror. Folks, I'm telling you, you're going to see such massive destruction. You think the atomic bombs are bad. They ain't seen nothing till God slaps the earth with his own hand. And I believe tonight that when God gets through with the earth, it's going to be an awful sight. Now, thirdly, I want to look at the timing of Christ's return. The Bible says it's unknown, right? Only the Father knows. But we can take the Scriptures, we can investigate what God's Word says, and we can know that surely the time must be near. Because we see all these things happen. Earthquakes in diverse places. All over the world you're seeing earthquakes in the last 10 to 12 years. You've seen earthquakes all over the country, all over the world. In places that they are not normally seen. I remember me and Pete Key sitting up there in the office one day, and the day that it rocked everything around here. And I thought I was having some kind of conniption fit because the walls started doing this. And I thought, man, my eyes are messed up. when you're sitting in it, you don't really feel it, but you see the walls. And that's when Pete jumped up and grabbed and said, "Let's get out of here." I mean, it was a real earthquake. Well, I'd never seen nothing, felt nothing like that. Only one other time before that, I was a young boy. I think I was about a junior in high school. We were over to Salem. Mom was cleaning the church house. She was downstairs in the basement of that old building. We had one of those tremors, and she was hollering at me. Thought I was running through the church and through the house of God. Boy, she was upset. And she was upset about that. You know, you ain't supposed to be running through the church. I wasn't even in the church. In the church house, that is. I was in the church, but I wasn't in the church house. But I was sitting there, I was thinking about that. We've had those earthquakes all over the world now. We got wars. We got rumors of wars. Is that not what's been, that's what everybody's talking about right now, is that rumor of war. Hungary and Russia. Ukraine and Russia. Everybody's talking about how everybody's going to get drawn into that conflict. Folks, I want you to know something. All these things are not just by chance. God's hand is at work. The end of time is coming upon us. We know that it's at the door. It says Titus chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, Matthew chapter 24. It's at the door. Now lastly tonight, Christ's coming, it actually has a twofold reason. To bring forth the righteous dead, which we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Revelation 20 verse 5 and 6. But it also to judge the works of the believers. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 through 15. But lastly in all that, it's to bring forth the Christ rejecter. Those who have refused the glorious gospel to its final end, they one day shall stand before the one they rejected. See, oftentimes people don't look deep into the reasons for things. We sat here tonight. We talk about the second coming of Christ and how mainly it's especially for the child of God. But listen, Christ has another agenda too. Number one, it's to judge our works. At the bema seat of Christ, we're going to stand. And, you know, some of us are going to walk through and we're going to come out the other side, and our crowns are going to be made up with the works that went through the fire and was tried. But then some are going to go through the fire, and listen, they're going to be standing there. They're going to be standing in ashes. That's where that scripture comes in, saved yet so as by fire. Saved, yes, but all of your talents, all of your works, were burned up because they were done for the wrong reason. These are just a couple of things. But then when you think about how in the second phase of His second coming, as He comes back to the earth, all those who have refused the gospel message, all those who have refused the salvation of Jesus Christ, they're called Christ rejectors for a reason. They have refused the very Son of God. The Bible says that's when God is going to take vengeance upon His whole world. And all those who have refused are going to meet the Maker, the Creator of all that is or was or ever will be, the All-Powerful One. And all those saints who come back with Him on those white chargers, you know what we're going to be doing? We're not going to be fighting. There's going to be no need for us to fight. We're just going to be a bystander over here on the side of the hill somewhere watching. Christ is going to take care of business once and for all. I'll tell you, it's scriptures like these that I look and I think, how in the world can people misinterpret that? How can you not take it and receive it for what it is, a warning? To flee from the wrath of an almighty God. To come unto Him for salvation. Oh, child of God, I'm thankful for our salvation. But those that are not saved, I pray for yours. And I pray that it even happens tonight. Let's all stand, please.